We're talking with this year's American Honey Queen about honey production and the needs of bees and beekeepers. But first, let's take a moment to get updated on our sweet spring membership drive. It is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive, and I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Noah Ovshinsky. Good morning.
Good morning. It is good to be here.
And as a WPR listener, you know you're always going to hear something interesting when you tune in, and that's thanks to your support. It's listeners who provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make the morning show, you make everything else you hear in WPR possible.
And Kate, we've got about 25 minutes left this hour and looking to get 8 more pledges in the door. So your gift right now is so very important because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every day.
Awesome. And so thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in the last segment, we learned about power lunches. I got to take a sneak peek at Kate's lunch.
For better or for worse.
Yeah, no, it was very good. It's a lot better than mine. But a fascinating conversation about the kinds of things we should be eating and maybe should not be eating for lunch and what kinds of things go a long way in helping sort of calm our appetite. Very cool segment. I learned a lot. Also feeling a bit guilty coming out of it, but I certainly learned a lot. These are the kinds of conversations you count on from the morning show.
WPR is listener powered. It's listener supported. And that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
This membership drive, we have an exciting drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. You'll have 5 chances to win. No contribution is necessary. You can see all the rules at WPR.org. Better yet, you can be automatically entered when you make a donation of any amount right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You have a lot of bills in your monthly budget that are out of your control.
Certainly my education, but hopefully it's going to be worth it and going towards a good cause.
Rent, for sure.
Every time I turn around, my automobile insurance is increasing.
Unlike the other things you pay for, you're always in control of your sustaining membership. During this pledge drive, we ask our sustainers to consider an increase to your monthly gift. How about $5 a month? It'll go a long way to pay for the WPR programs you rely on day in and day out. Thank you for your ongoing support.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs that you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Noah Ovshinsky. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs that you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we truly count on your gift.
Everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Maybe that's what you pay for cable or your family's phone plan. Listening to WPR is something you do every day, so put a value on it like other things that are important to you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Kate, we've got just about 22 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 8 more people to join in. You make WPR possible and help us stay on track with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added bonus for supporting the programs that you love, your donation enters you into a drawing for a $500 grocery gift card. So fabulous, so practical. You'll have 5 chances to win, so give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers, those of you making those ongoing monthly gifts, thank you, and you are automatically entered.
And if you're not a sustainer, you can become one right now. It's easy to set up, and you'll make ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
Thank you so much for your support and doing what you can for Wisconsin Public Radio. More than a decade after we learned about colony collapse disorder, people are still worried about honeybees, and there's good reason for that. We're talking about bees and honey production here on The Morning Show. Beekeepers still lose a substantial portion of their honeybee colonies each year, and last winter an estimated 30% of managed colonies in the U.S. were lost. What do you want to know about honeybees? What do you do to prepare your hives? Join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Hannah Schustrom is the American Honey Queen. She represents the American Beekeeping Federation, and she was the 2018 Wisconsin Honey Queen, which is a program that is run by the Wisconsin Honey Producers Association, and she joins us from our studios in Eau Claire. Hannah, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
So you're a third-generation beekeeper. How many hives do you and your family run?
We currently run about 200 hives, and growing up in the industry, I guess I just loved beekeeping because I was always intrigued in how important they are in our lifestyle.
So what were your chores growing up in terms of the bees?
I would always go out to the hives with my dad, and then if we weren't in the bee yards working with our bees, it was bottling honey and preparing for the market.
What about getting stung? Did you get stung?
I mean, you always have to get stung with honeybees, but they are very docile creatures and will only sting if they have to.
So what kind of work does beekeeping involve? Can you take us through the process?
Absolutely. So in the spring of the year, you'll have either packages, bees come in, and so those will be your brand new bees that will come from California or Georgia, and then you're going to put those into the hive. Some people around this time of the year are also going to be bringing their bees back from California or other southern states because they are going to be what we call migratory beekeepers. There are lots of pollination needs across the country, and so they will move their bees from area to area pollinating the crops that are in need.
Oh, wow. So it's like you can see the movement, like just crops coming alive as you go straight across the country.
Yes. And so like right now they're in California pollinating they're going to get done pollinating the almond crops. And then they're going to move up to Washington for the apple blossoms. Mm. And then pretty soon it'll be summer here in Wisconsin and we'll be pollinating the cranberry bogs.
So as you look at your family's work and the work that you're doing in terms of beekeeping, where are we at with colony collapse disorder and the health of our bees in the United States?
We are still every year losing about one third of our honeybee population, and that is going to be unintentional losses that we don't want. And so we have researchers and scientists are working along together with the beekeepers trying to figure out what is happening exactly. And one thing they've found so far is that it's not just one thing affecting the bee health, but multiple factors all at once. And so using that knowledge, one huge thing we're trying to focus on right now is kind of increasing the floral sources for the bees to kind of increase the diversity in their diet.
In the northern U.S., we had the temperatures drop really, really low, the polar vortex. So what do beekeepers do to prepare for winter? And can you prepare for something like this?
You can always try to prepare for it, that's for sure. One thing some beekeepers will do is in October, November, they will wrap their colonies. And so you can either do like a black tar paper that you'll wrap the colonies in to kind of insulate it. Or some other beekeepers will also take things like cardboard. It's just kind of trying to add that little extra protection for the winter. Because the honeybees can normally survive the cold temperatures because they will keep their hive at a constant 98 degrees all throughout the winter. They just don't love the fluctuation in the temperatures because then they can't always mediate the temperature as well.
So what do we need to be aware of to prevent hive loss? And is hive loss a real thing when it comes to these devastatingly cold winters?
It is for sure. Yes, it is a real thing that affects many of our beekeepers here. And if, like, now that we're starting to go into spring, like you said, trying to improve the health of the bees, one thing that people can do that's really easy is if they can just leave the dandelions in their yard. I know they're not the prettiest things to look at all the time, but it is going to be one of the first floral sources for the bees, and it's crucial in getting that hive off to a good start after that cold, harsh winter.
We're talking with Hannah Schustrom. She's a third-generation beekeeper from Maiden Rock and the 2019 American Honey Queen. Beekeepers, what are you looking forward to or worried about this year? We're at 800-642-1234 is the number to join the conversation. Hannah, help us understand, what are the impact of bees? Why do we need these bees?
We need our lovely honeybees because about one third of the food we eat requires pollination, with 80% of that dependent on the honeybees. And so a lot of those food sources, the quality and the quantity is driven by the honeybees and their pollination efforts.
What is the life of a bee like? Can you walk us through the bee's timeline and their life with us?
Sure. So in the summer, the bees are going to be out flying so much that they'll only live for about 4 to 6 weeks. So they have a very short time to make a big impact. And at the start of their life, they will actually be nurse bees. They will be caring for the other young bees. And then they will also move throughout their life. They will be making wax. They will also guard the hive. They are going to care for the queen. And then at the very end of their life is when they will go and forage for honey.
Mm, so they have a very intense but short life.
They do. And then while honeybees are mostly known for all the honey that they make, that little honeybee will only produce 1/12 of a teaspoon of honey in her lifetime.
Oh, my goodness. You talk to beekeepers around the country. What are some of their top concerns when it comes to protecting the health of our honeybees?
A huge concern all across the United States right now is just kind of controlling the mites. And that's kind of going to be like a tick on the bee, but it's going to carry multiple diseases. And so we are really worried about that, and then also focusing a lot on floral sources all across the United States. Those are things that beekeepers can agree on that need to be focused on to help improve the health of the honeybees.
Well, let's bring in a call now. Let's go to Kate in Barnevald. Hi, Kate.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My son is a first-time beekeeper as of last year, and I have a question kind of on his behalf. About better chances of wintering over, and also then some resources that he can turn to as a young beekeeper. His hives, he only has one hive set up with two deeps and then the shallow. We did wrap his hive with a blanket, like a quilt, rather than tar paper, because we did this kind of last minute when we realized it was going to get so bitter cold. The hive is in a protected area. The bees, by the sound of it, did survive that most bitter cold snap that we had, but then seemed to die within maybe 4 days or so after that. So that's the situation with that.
Kate, let's get some reaction from Hannah. What about a rookie beekeeper and how they approach this winter?
Absolutely. So if you're looking as a beginner beekeeper on some wonderful resources that can help you kind of start to learn more about beekeeping and all the things you didn't really know you needed to know, a wonderful resource is going to get connected with your county clubs. And then there's also going to be a state and federal organizations for the beekeeping industry. And so those are going to be great organizations where they can give you resources you need. And you can also interact with beekeepers one-on-one. And so another thing, like walking into winter, just to kind of, it's always going to be kind of dependent on the winter and how the bees are doing. And so you can just try to feed your bees, make sure they have enough food going into the winter, and then also make sure that you've been taking care of the mite population, and also just kind of like wrap them or do other things to prepare them for the winter.
And we have a links to the state's honey organization and the American Beekeeping Federation at WPR.org on the morning show page. Kate, thanks so much for the call. You're talking, Hannah, about dandelions. Are there things we should or shouldn't plant when it comes to helping bees?
If you just want to start planting floral sources that the bees love, that's always going to be good. They really need different floral sources in their diet because right now they kind of have a lot of the same floral sources around. And so they're kind of like humans where it's like we can't just eat one food source and be able to be healthy off of it. So we're just trying to really increase the diversity of the floral sources that are planted and try and help improve the health of the honeybees that way.
You were recently at the University of Florida Southern Bee Lab as part of your work. What were you doing there? What did you learn?
I was just there, whereas I grew up here in the northern industry, the beekeeping climate in the southern industry is going to be completely different. And so I was there just personally learning more about how the southern industry is completely different. Whereas up here, we have to prepare our bees for winter. They were talking a lot about how do they help the bees survive through hurricanes or all the swampy weather that they have down there.
Oh, and all the water as well, just even rising water. And what do you do about those hives? Mm-hmm. Because they can get lost so quickly. I've certainly seen that. So as the American Honey Queen, what does your work involve?
I get to travel the wonderful United States this next year as a national representative promoting the industry. So I'll be at events like government visits, to school presentations, to media interviews. So anything involving the honey industry where we can get word out about that is where we're going to be all year long.
And prior to this role, you were the Wisconsin Honey Queen. What is Wisconsin's honey industry like?
Wisconsin's honey industry is going to be, is very diverse with our beekeepers. It's going to be about 3 million pounds of honey that is produced by Wisconsin. So we're currently ranked at the 15th out of the entire states for honey production. And a lot of things that need pollination around us are going to be like the cranberries or apple trees. And so Wisconsin has lots of different varieties of things that need to be pollinated by the honeybees.
As we wrap up here, what would you say to someone who's interested in trying beekeeping for the first time?
I would encourage them to try beekeeping, but really encourage the fact that they should get in touch with local communities, whether it's a county club or a state and federal organizations, because they're going to have wonderful resources for them to reach out to. And a lot of times they will also have mentor programs where they will walk the beekeeper through the first year of beekeeping and give them the hands-on experience, but also the help that they might need.
Well, Hannah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Hannah Schustrom is American Honey Queen. She represents the American Beekeeping Federation, and she joined us from our studios in Eau Claire. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We've been talking about our pollinator friends here on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.